And you're very welcome back to Lifeline. Now I should be joined on the line by Colm White. Good morning to you, Colm.
Good morning, how are you?
Not too bad this morning, how are you?
Good, good.
Great. Now, Colm, you're speaking to us there from the Irish Kidney Association, and we know Organ Donor Awareness Week is coming up from the 1st of April till the 8th of April. So today we're going to talk a little bit about organs and about the organ cards as well. So people listening, I suppose, Colm, talk a little bit about, I suppose, organ donation and what organs we can actually donate. Tell us a little bit about the work you do there.
The Irish Kidney Association is responsible for the production and kind of, I suppose, delivery of organ donor cards around the country. That we kind of make sure that everybody who wants to advocate for organ donation has access to organ donor cards. And so particularly now with Organ Donor Awareness Week coming up, we're very busy. A colleague here in the office is literally surrounded by boxes that he's getting ready to send out to people who have put their hand up and said, yeah, we want to play a part in promoting organ donation. And when we look at organ donation, the organs we're looking at donating, you've got the heart, the lungs, the liver, the pancreas, and two kidneys as well. So there are many potential organs. Now, you may find that a donor, for whatever reason, their heart mightn't be suitable for donation, but maybe their liver and their kidneys are fine, or their kidneys aren't good, but maybe their lungs are great. So it's everybody has the potential to be an organ donor, but I think the circumstances, people need to be aware that you've got to be in an intensive care unit on a life support machine when you're declared brainstem dead to be a potential organ donor. So this kind of immediately narrows the pool down. Like last year, 2016, there were 190 hospital referrals to the Organ Procurement Service, Organ Donation Transplant Ireland. There would be a view that kind of, well, tens of thousands of people die every year. Why have we got this shortage? But it's the fact that you need to be in an intensive care unit on a life support machine that kind of narrows the pool. And this is why we need as many people as possible having the conversation, ensuring that their family are aware of their wishes, so that in the event of a person dying in the right circumstances, that the opportunities are being maximised for organ donation leading on to transplantation.
Okay, and as you're saying, the donor cards, if I know a lot of people do have the donor cards, but carrying one of these donor cards around you, is it enough, or do you have to register as well?
We don't currently have an organ donor registry in Ireland. It's something that the Irish Kidney Association has been advocating for a very long time. We would like a registry, basically a central database, where people can record their wishes in relation to organ donation, whether they say yes or whether they say no. So rather than trying to railroad people into a specific course of action, you're just simply asking the public to express an opinion about organ donation that will inform the discussion at the time of potential organ donation. So if somebody is identified as a potential organ donor and if their family is approached, if you have a donor registry, the medical personnel can consult the registry prior to approaching the family. And if a person has signed up and has said yes to organ donation, the approach could very much be, would you like us to carry out your son's wishes, your husband's wishes, your wife's wishes, as opposed to walking in that room completely disarmed, not knowing what you're going to face, not knowing has the family had the discussion or not. So it would be there to inform and equally there to reassure the public that their consent to organ donation has been properly recorded and noted and will therefore be properly followed through.
And what if somebody has expressed to the family that they would like to donate organs but hasn't actually had a card or filled in a card? Can the family make that decision after the loved one's passed?
Absolutely, 100%. 100% okay. They can. The real function of the organ donor card is to initiate a family discussion, because if you look at the Irish donor card, on the back of it there's a space for your own signature and for a next of kin signature. So if I take a donor card today and bring it home to my wife and ask her to sign it, she's obviously going to look at it and say, well, what am I signing? And we're going to have a discussion, and I'm going to say, well, I think this whole organ donation thing is pretty cool. I'm up for it if I'm ever a potential donor, and I'd like for you to ensure that it happens. And then obviously I would hope that she would share her wishes with me. And then the card has really, it's done its primary function. It's got the family talking about it. Holding on to the card is kind of, I guess, a reminder of a commitment made. But it's as long as your family are aware of your wishes, that's the key. That's what makes the difference. Mm-hmm. Now, you can get a traditional organ donor card in a variety of ways. One that's growing in popularity year on year is you can simply free text the word donor, D-O-N-O-R, to 50050. You'll get a bounce back message asking for your name and address. You send that back again free of charge, and we capture those details. And in the next day or two, you'll have a donor card sent out to your house with, along with kind of a small brochure that gives kind of frequently asked questions and some background information to ensure that the individual is making an informed decision. Okay. We were delighted there on Tuesday to launch our new digital donor card. You can basically download it onto your smartphone, and it also has a loop within it, a facility whereby you can share your wishes with your family, so to again initiate that conversation. So if people want to download the digital donor card, just simply enter donor.ie into your smartphone, or if you're in front of your laptop or your computer, enter donor.ie, put in your phone number, and you'll get sent a link to your phone. And it's less than 2 minutes, and you'll have a digital donor card on your phone, and you can be part of the potential to make a difference, and equally the potential to give hope. Because if you're waiting for a transplant and you hear that during Organ Donor Awareness Week 2017, X thousand people signed up to get an organ donor card or downloaded a digital donor card, it gives you hope that there are people out there, strangers out there, who are kind of, they're in your corner. They're sort of saying, yeah, we support this. We want to help people in this situation. In the event of my death, I want to have the potential to make a difference. And equally, not just make a difference to those who are waiting for a transplant, make a difference to your own family. Like, if you talk to many donor families, they'll talk to you about the kind of the legacy they feel that their loved one has left them, the comfort that they get knowing that, yes, we have lost a loved one, but there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 individuals out there and their respective families who haven't lost a loved one, who have got extra years. Like at our launch of Donor Week there on Tuesday, one of the recipients who was speaking, like she highlighted some of the simple and the most beautiful things that she got through getting the gift of life. She got to walk her daughter to her first day of school. She got to attend her brother's wedding. Like it truly is the gift that keeps on giving.
Exactly.
And I've run our sports team, and I have so many friends through the sports team, and a growing number who are having children post-transplant. They're having their own children after receiving a transplant.
Really?
And that's huge. Not only have you given the gift of life to one individual, a whole new generation is coming through you've made that commitment, and that's quite a legacy to leave behind. It would be something to be very proud of, and equally for your family to be very proud of.
And when somebody donates, if a loved one has passed on and they've given, you know, they're donating certain things, do they know where they go to? Like, do they get a name or anything like that, or is it never known who the donor is?
They won't know the specifics of the recipient. Equally, the recipient won't know the specifics of the donor. Like, they may know that it was a 45-year-old male or something like that, or the donor family may know that, well, the heart went to a 17-year-old female, the lungs went to such and such, but there wouldn't be any identifying information that you wouldn't be able to say, well, clearly the donor is kind of Joe Bloggs from kind of the high.
But there's no way of like wherever. You can contact or to see how the person is doing after you've, you know, donated a loved one, say heart, to another person. Can you contact, see how they're doing? There's no, you can't do that. Can you?
What can happen is through the transplant coordinator's office, for example, a recipient can kind of send a letter, often it's a Christmas card or a card around the time of the anniversary of the transplant, to the donor family. And again, not putting in any identifying information, but they can put in and sort of say, listen, doing really well, or just wanted to let you know because of your loved one's generosity, I got to walk my daughter to her first day of school today, and this means so much to me, etc., etc. So, like we at the launch of Donor Week there on Tuesday, we had a gentleman who his wife had passed away, and he had agreed to donate the donation of her organs, and he kind of encouraged recipients to send a note to donor families to sort of. It doesn't have to be thank you, thank you, thank you, but it just kind of to share the simple things that have been achieved, so the donor family kind of get that comfort, knowing, well, gosh, they we do miss our loved one, but like at least these other families are kind of getting to celebrate kind of life's milestones.
Yeah. Which would probably give comfort to the family as well. Can I just ask you as well, Colm, is there an age limit? Any kind of donation
I don't think there's a particularly strict age limit. Like we're, myself and a colleague often do talks in schools, and we're often asked, like, can an under 18 be an organ donor? And the simple answer is yes, because like when it comes to the whole issue of consent, family have to consent. So in the case of an under 18, it would be kind of parent or guardian would have to give consent before organ retrieval happens. And if you look at it from a very practical perspective, unfortunately, some children get ill enough that they need organ transplants, and like I'm 6 foot tall, a fairly burly guy, that I think like my lungs are not going to fit into a 2-year-old. My heart's not going to fit into a 3-year-old.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you that. I had a stupid question. Like, can you put an adult's lungs into, transplant them into a child or a heart?
No, you've essentially, as best as possible, you've got to try and size match the donor organs with the recipient. But if we go to the other extreme, like of the age, if you like, at the older age categories, if you think about it, if you have a patient who's in their 60s, maybe into their 70s, who needs a transplant, if you were to age match a donor, you'd be putting, let's say, a 65-year-old kidney into a 65-year-old or something like that, or a similarly aged person, that it would seem to make sense to do that. And so it is an issue that is kind of taken into account when kind of matching up, as well as having to kind of be blood group compatible, and they look at antibodies, etc. They do take into account kind of age matching. And I suppose you could say there's an element of it's not the miles on the clock, it's how the car was driven. You could have a potential donor kind of in their 60s who is actually physically in better shape than somebody in their late 40s. So it would be, I think it would be difficult to draw a kind of a very defined line.
It's just probably to match. I know what you're saying. And Colm, I know people probably think donating organs, you have to wait till a person dies, but we can actually donate some living, some organs while we're alive, can't we?
Yes, it's very possible to be a living kidney donor. And in 2016, Beaumont kind of reached the landmark of 50 living kidney transplants done in the year. That was up on 33 the previous year, so it was quite a step up. And when it comes to living donation, it's very much, you're probably looking at a member of the family or somebody with a kind of a close emotional attachment that there would be a kind of a reason why they would donate to that individual. We haven't yet introduced altruistic donation into the country, where kind of a stranger steps forward and says, look, I want to donate a kidney to the pool. I don't necessarily want to know who gets it. I just want to give a kidney so hopefully someone's life improves. It happens in the UK. I believe they reached their 500th altruistic donation there.
So some person just wants last year. Just donates a kidney, not to a specific other person, that family member. They just want to give a kidney to somebody to help a person,
yeah,
without knowing
correct.
Them. Like,
yeah, it's like in the UK. Like obviously in all cases of living donation, there's kind of a physical exam involved, but there's also a psychological element.
Exactly. That's,
does the person understand what they're getting into? How are they going to cope? Like if you're donating a kidney to a family member, they want to know kind of, well, what would be your feelings if, unfortunately, that the transplant didn't take, it didn't work? Like, are you ready to kind of wrap your head around that? But they'd actually go even a little bit deeper in the case, in the UK, in the case of an altruistic donor. They really kind of do look into that. And I think rightly so, but part of me sort of says, like, isn't it sad that individuals who want to step forward and just be wonderfully generous to humanity rather than an individual, that our tendency is to question their motive. It's kind of, well, are you sure you want to do this?
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Really?
It's a very very good thing to do if you do, you know, if somebody wants to just give an organ to somebody that they don't know. I mean, it's hard enough probably to do it for a loved one and family member. It is, you know, like you're giving a piece of your body away, but it is it's a great thing to do. If, you know, would you ever think we'll see this in Ireland?
I think the attitude is moving towards it. I think there are other areas that maybe need to be kind of focused on first before we get there. But
yeah.
I think the attitude is kind of it can happen. And like, I think it is important to have the safeguards in that, like to make sure that people understand. Like we would often get phone calls here in our office that doesn't have a family member or a friend newly diagnosed with kidney failure, and I've heard about this living donation and I'm interested, I'm thinking about it, but I'd kind of like to know a little bit more about what's involved before I put my hand up, like before I kind of go and say to my family member, well, listen, I'd like to be tested to see if I'm a match.
Yeah.
And we'd absolutely facilitate that. Now, we're not a medically qualified organisation, but we do have kind of appropriate literature and we can point them in the right direction. To kind of, I suppose, give them the prompt of the questions to ask and the questions they're likely to be asked.
Okay, Callum,
so
we're going to have to finish for run out of time here, but just one more question just to ask you before we go. If you have, say, diabetes or cancer, can you donate your organs then if you have a sickness?
Difficult to give a generalised answer to that. Like, the diabetes may be certain of your organs may not be suitable, but other organs may be. Like maybe your lungs mightn't be affected at all.
Yeah.
In terms of cancer, difficult one. If it was a very localised cancer, maybe if it was contained within the liver, for example, there could be the possibility of looking at the other organs. But every case is kind of medically judged when it presents. The potential for donation is kind of looked at.
Okay.
The medical history of the potential donor is reviewed. They obviously look into whether there's any kind of bloodborne virus issues or anything like that. That's to ensure the kind of the safety of the transplant.
Okay, so if anyone's listening today who is probably has diabetes, can they still should probably carry the card and fill it in and carry if they want to donate a kidney?
I would say so.
Yeah,
I would say so. And like, I just remind your listeners that it's donor.ie to get the digital donor card, and it's free text donor, D-O-N-O-R, to 50050 to request a donor card to be sent to your house.
And you have a local number on 1890 543 639. Yep.
Correct. Or they can visit our website, ika.ie/card, and they can request a card there.
Right. And it's Organ Donor Awareness Week from the 1st of April till the 8th. So listen, thanks a million, Colin, for talking to us this morning. And I hope people, you know, got some information that they needed from this. OK?
Thank you. Appreciate
Thank you.
The opportunity.
Thank you.